This podcast is a production of Restoring the Core, an initiative designed to assist those looking to explore classic Christianity with connected age resources, online at restoringthecore.com. This is Finding Hidden Treasure, episode number 85. Today's episode is on the life and legacy of Susanna Anthony. Keeping a journal has been an important Christian spiritual practice for centuries. This topic was discussed in our series on Christian spiritual formation, a link to which I will have on the Restoring the Core webpage for this episode. Journals have been an important way for Christians to remember not only the events in their lives, but how God interacted and showed kindness in the course of our human circumstances and in our lives. Reading the past entries we have made in the journal can often remind us of God's love toward us in circumstances and events which we may have simply forgotten. There has been another aspect of journal keeping which has proven to be of great spiritual benefit to the church over the centuries. A number of rather godly people have left behind journals in which they poured out their thoughts, anxieties, observations, prayers, and praises in a rather open way, since they had no reason to think that someone else would perhaps, even centuries later, be reading those same entries for their own spiritual benefit. Among these writings which have survived to this day are works such as the Journal of John Woolman and the Journal of John Wesley. In 1749, the famous American pastor and theologian Jonathan Edwards published the diary of a missionary to Native Americans who lived in the British colonies of Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, and New Jersey. 2 years after Brainerd's death in 1747, Jonathan Edwards published the Journal of David Brainerd. It has been said that evangelistic missions grew in numbers and in strength as a result of many reading the accounts of Brainerd's own missionary journeys. A list of people who are famous in their own rights as missionaries, such as William Carey, who was a missionary to India, found inspiration in Brainerd's writings. The same can be said of Susanna Anthony, who left behind a wonderful legacy of a journal and collection of letters between her and her good friend Sarah Osborne. Let me provide some background on Susanna Anthony. First, she should not be confused with the American women's rights activist Susan B. Anthony, who was born decades after the death of Susanna Anthony. Susanna Anthony lived in the town of Newport, Rhode Island. She lived to see the transition of Rhode Island from a British colony to one of the original 13 states of the United States. She was born in Newport, Rhode Island on October 25th in the year 1726. Around the age of 15 or 16, she became a member of a society of women that dedicated itself to the reading of the Bible and other religious works, pious conversation, almsgiving, meditation, and prayer. While Susanna Anthony is not a household name among Christians in the early 21st century, she was known to the America of the late 18th century. A biographical work of her life, which included numerous entries from her diary, was compiled by the Reverend Samuel Hopkins in the decade of the 1790s. There is something of an irony here. I've mentioned Jonathan Edwards' role in compiling the diary entries of David Brainerd. Samuel Hopkins, in his younger years, spent 8 months in the house of Jonathan Edwards and his family so that he could better learn how to be a pastor. Susanna Anthony was in frail health early in her life. She never married, and due to her frail health, she found a way of supporting herself by doing needlework. While she lived away from Newport during the American Revolutionary War, she did return after the war's end, staying there until her death on June 23, 1791. Samuel Hopkins gave an account of how Susanna Anthony answered the question she asked the Lord in prayer, "Lord, what would you have me to do?" Hopkins wrote, "She was led to conclude that she could serve the interest of Christ and of his church and promote the good of her fellow men more by devoting herself to prayer than in any other way of which she was capable. And as in her circumstances, she was in a great measure free from domestic cares and had opportunity to spend much time in retirement, she thought it was her duty to devote as much time as could be spared from her particular employment and necessary applications in prayer, not only for herself and all her particular friends and near connections, but more especially for the prosperity of the Church of Christ and the advancement of his kingdom in the world, until all nations, Jews and Gentiles, should be converted and brought into it, in which prayer for the ministers of the gospel was included, that they might be filled with the Spirit of Christ and abundantly fitted and succeeded at the head of the church, and the Lord of the harvest would raise up and send forth faithful laborers into his harvest." The society of which he was a member would spend one afternoon a month in prayer and fasting, as well as 4 whole days of prayer and fasting in a given year. The many diary entries which Samuel Hopkins preserved for us give us a picture of the content and fervency with which Susanna Anthony prayed. I have found it very instructive to listen to people who I know who are strong in prayer, so that I may learn from them and find out what their priorities are in prayer, so that I should learn what my priorities should be in prayer. Often our prayers can, dare I use the word, devolve into merely asking for things from God, and if my observations are typical, those requests most often center on issues of physical health and go no further. We see from her diary, in an entry dated March 28, 1754, that one of Susanna's priorities in prayer was to be even more devoted to prayer. She wrote, "Lord, thou had the residue of the Spirit. Oh, pour it out upon a sinking world. Where, oh, where is the Lord God of Elijah? Where are his promises? Art not thou he? And wilt thou not arise? Oh, strengthen my faith and enable me to wrestle day and night for the good of thy chosen. O Lord Jehovah, pour out thy Spirit on me and on all thy people. Let thy Spirit fit me for the work, and I will devote my life to the duty of prayer and supplication for all men. O accept of this recovery of health, which I devote to this exercise. Only do thou, Lord, qualify me for the sacred, solemn exercise, and I dismiss every other scheme or project, and make this the grand pursuit of my life." In that same entry, we also see praise as well as petition. She wrote, "Blessed be God for any assistance. Lord, my soul longeth for thy salvation. Oh, when may I see the good of thy chosen? Oh, how sweet to think of being at one and the same instant united in spirit, lifting up holy hands without wrath or doubting, for one and the same cause and interest, with many of thy dear saints, and the divine cementing us together in the love of Christ and one another." Susanna Anthony's diary entries also show us the depth of devotion she had for God and Christ. The first question and answer of the Westminster Shorter Catechism states, "What is the chief end of man?" Answer, "The chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever." That understanding of glorifying and enjoying God comes through with great clarity in her writings. Susanna wrote not only about glorifying God, but also enjoying union with God in Christ. She wrote, again, as to my love, "Now was my soul taken up in admiring the glorious way of salvation by Christ. He appeared truly amiable as the Redeemer of lost man. Nor was the Father's love less wonderful in giving his Son to die. I can remember to have been even wrapped up in ecstasy of love and wonder. For some time, my thoughts seemed only to dwell and live on the admirable views of these things. I wondered they were no more admired and spoken of by others. I loved the Word of God, took great delight in reading it, and in all the exercises of religion. My greatest delight was to pour out my soul before God. I brought before him the minutest concerns of my life and sought his direction and blessing. It was sweet to me to eye God in all I did, and God did graciously indulge my love and sincerity, though attended with many childish weaknesses, and witnessed that he heard my prayers. Oh, what enlargement did I now receive from a kind and gracious God! And how was my soul taken up in love to God and religion and in hatred of sin?" In the early 21st century, it might be hard for us to remember, even for those of us who lived through the transition, a time when correspondence with another individual involved handwritten letters which required a postal system to deliver those letters from one location to another. Susanna Anthony didn't have email or texting. However, in what she did use, namely paper and ink, she also left behind a wonderful spiritual legacy. A set of letters between Susanna Anthony and the Women's Society founder Sarah Osborne was compiled and published in 1807, which, like a diary entry, reflects the thoughts of two people who had no reason to think that others would be reading their mail over 2 centuries later. Sarah Osborne was instrumental in changes in the religious landscape of Rhode Island before and after the Great Awakening of the 1740s. Her bond of friendship and sisterhood in Christ comes through clearly in these letters. The following is a sample of a letter written by Susanna to Sarah, Note the love for God and Christ, but also that these words were penned by one who realistically viewed her human condition in Christ. Susanna wrote, "Dear Mrs. O, gladly would I have been with you this evening, but finding myself so unable, I dare not presume. Alas, I am soon tired in, though not of, religion. This is my greatest, yea, I may say all my affliction. But blessed be God, I hope in his own time I shall get where I shall never tire more. Oh, when shall it be that neither faintness nor sickness shall check my faith and love? God was pleased yesterday to refresh me in sermon and at his table, but as I said before, I soon grow weary. Pray for me, oh pray for me, that now I cannot wrestle with God as formerly, and as it were pull the blessing down. He would shed it down abundantly on my soul. Oh, I long to get near my God and bathe my thirsty soul in his fullness. But I must cease. S.A. I will have links to the archive.org versions of Hopkins' Life and Character of Miss Susanna Anthony, as well as the collection of familiar letters between Sarah Osborne and Susanna Anthony. The images of these works of over 200 years ago requires patience to read. The font is a bit different from contemporary fonts. Also, the S's look like F's. Even with a little bit of effort, I think you will find these works to be of great spiritual blessing to you. Let me close with an entry from Susanna. She does what the Apostle Paul instructs us to do in 2 Corinthians 3:18, where Paul writes, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image, from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." Note Susanna's language as she tries to put into words her experience of gazing upon God in faith. February 13, 1751. Last Monday, February 11th, at night, my soul was led to contemplate the being and perfections of the blessed God. Here I stood and gazed until all my soul was fixed with unutterable attention. Oh, how did the glory of this divine, infinite, self-existing, self-sufficient being raise my contemplation and draw out the strength of my soul with vigor and ardor to dive as far and take in as much as a finite mortal being could contain? Oh, how glorious, how infinitely glorious did the exalted, immense, immortal, incomprehensible deity then appear to my enlarged, adoring soul. And while I gazed, my soul was filled in inexpressible astonishment at the many and great affronts and indignities I had offered to this divine, infinite majesty. Verily, my soul is here lost in wonder. O infinite goodness and love, this is dignity, even contemplation and enjoyment of thyself, that the most daring sons of men would never have dared to ask, and had not thou, thou only, who was able and willing, thus dignified our nature." Thank you for listening to this program. We can be contacted at mail@restoringthecore.com. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/restoringthecore. You can also follow us on Twitter at @RestoreTheCore. My original blog is still active. It is found at schoolofthesolitaryplace.blogspot.com. Thank you for listening. Please join us next time for Finding Hidden Treasure.